The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances of all kinds, including focusing on today's program, symphony orchestra performances. The Peoria Symphony Orchestra presents its Concert of Thanksgiving tonight in the Peoria Civic Center Theater. It's on their series of Pops Family and Community Concerts. We'll be hearing about that and some of the other offerings from the Peoria Symphony from music director George Stelluto. That'll be in the second part of our show. But first up, Deanne Bryant is music director of the Bloomington Normal Youth Symphony. They give their fall concert tomorrow night at 7:30 on the campus of Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington, a nicely varied program, and I'll be talking with Deanne shortly. One of the pieces on that concert is Alexander Borodin's In Central Asia, or better known as In the Steppes of Central Asia. On the Steppes of Central Asia by Alexander Borodin, a performance by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by Vladimir Ashkenazy. And that piece will be on the concert tomorrow night by the Bloomington Normal Youth Symphony, which is at 7:30 at Illinois Wesleyan University's Westbrook Auditorium, located in Presser Hall on the campus in Bloomington. And the conductor of the orchestra is Deanne Bryant. And I had an opportunity to talk with her just a bit ago this morning. So you are by now in what year with the youth orchestra? It's been a while, isn't it?
It has been quite a while. I think this is my 18th year, 18th year with the symphony.
You're like me, losing track of how long we've been doing these things.
Definitely. Having taught for over 25 years, this felt like a temporary position, but it's not turning out that way.
Did you expect that it would be temporary initially?
Oh, I had no idea. You know, I had no idea how this would go. Howard Rye started the symphony and in his fifth year became ill and asked me to sub, and I guess I'm
and
still subbing.
You're still subbing. Right. Well, if whenever you decide to give up the orchestra and you hire a sub, warn them what could happen.
Yes, I think they'll have to understand how this goes. The kids are so great. How can you turn away from them? That's the wonderful thing.
Yeah, so they come, I mean, obviously they come from around Bloomington Normal. What's the radius of where your kids come from?
Well, we have a student that travels down from Monona, which is about 45 minutes, and we have a young lady from Leroy. We have had kids from Fairbury and, you know, a lot of students from Tri-Valley because Downs is close. So the radius would be something like, I don't know, 45 miles, I mm-hmm. guess.
What's the age range of kids that you have in your orchestra?
Right now, the youngest, we have a couple of 12-year-olds who've been studying privately for a long time and do very well. I mean, the older ones, the majority of the members are older, juniors and seniors in high school. And students can be in it until they turn 22.
Oh, really?
So we get students that are at Heartland Junior College, and they have no place to play. So every year we have one or two students that take advantage of what we have to offer, and they have a great time.
Remind me, because I've forgotten, are there string programs in the schools there?
Huge string programs.
Wow.
Huge string programs. Both Bloomington and Normal programs are extremely healthy. In Unit 5, I can safely say there are approximately 900 students in the string program.
Wow.
Each high school has about 90 string players. So, you know, a lot of fiddling going on. And Bloomington's almost as strong, so it's great.
That's fantastic. I didn't expect that answer because you don't get that answer much anymore.
I know. We're very blessed, and it's very exciting because I started that Unit 5 program About 100 years ago.
Now, you already told us how long you'd been teaching before.
I know you're quick with math. You can figure that out.
Yeah, I can figure things out. No, but that's fantastic. And do you have any trouble when you do auditions getting any particular instrument?
Well, there's always challenges. You know that. You live with this yourself. Bassoons are very difficult to get. Tuba, I mean, they know in town, they know who plays tuba and who's strong enough to do this. And that one's always difficult. Trombones can be difficult. That's about it. The rest of them are, there are people out there, and the private students are excellent at recommending, as well as the school teachers. We're just really pleased with that participation and support.
I know from doing the youth orchestra over here in Champaign-Urbana that I find that a lot of the brass instruments sometimes, not this year for me, but sometimes it can be difficult to get students, not because they're not out there, but because the band programs in the schools are so strong, and especially the jazz programs, and kids like to do that, and
right.
They don't quite see, what's orchestra about? Why should I play in there?
Right. That is always a challenge. This year we happen to have 5 French horn players that are just outstanding. I mean, that section just blows me away, literally. Incredible.
What do you, this is something that I've never solved for myself. As somebody who grew up playing French horn and double bass and never needing any coaxing to play in an orchestra, I just thought that's what I wanted to do. So I have trouble as an orchestra conductor and recruiter going into schools and recruiting, frankly, because to me it's self-evident why you would want to play in an orchestra. So I'm not always very good at trying to convince somebody who maybe isn't so sure about it. How do you approach that?
I think I'm in the same boat you are, Kevin, because the way I look at this is if you want to be an intelligent adult, you read good books. And the same goes with the fulfillment of your life, having good music in your life, and orchestral, you can't get much better than that, is so important that it should be just an automatic thing like you. And I didn't grow up with a real strong background, but somewhere along the line, I jumped on that bus, and it's been going ever since. I understand, like you do, all the other elements, and they're exciting and fun. But if you want to do real music, the orchestra's got it. I'm not helping you much.
No. You probably got to be careful about that term real music, though, too.
Well, what term would you use?
Oh, well, because there's lots of other kinds of real music.
I guess serious music. It's not even all serious, because how has it survived many, many, many years? It's because it's outstanding literature at the time, and it's held its value through the years. So be able to be exposed to those elements is just exciting and great in one's life.
Do you make a point to do original versions of all the music you do with the youth orchestra as opposed to arrangements for younger kids?
I've been forced to do that because the orchestra has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger over the years. And for a while, I depended on some of the arrangements because some of them are high quality, and like Merle Isaac cuts out the parts that are insanely hard but leaves most of it. But now, no, everything is real unless it's an arrangement of a fun piece we might end with, like this time The Wizard of Oz. So everything else is like the big kids play.
Yeah, the big kids, that's right. The Chicago, the big kids in the Chicago Symphony.
Yes, those kids.
And those kind of places, yeah. And hopefully they're still enjoying it as well as the kids are. I noticed from looking at your schedule that you not only have the concert tomorrow night, but you recently gave a performance at Westminster Village. I don't know what Westminster Village is since I live over here in Urbana.
It's
What's
a retirement
that?
Community on the east side of Bloomington, quite a large one. And the tradition was actually started 23 years ago, and every year we've performed what I call our dress performance for them. And the place is always packed. The residents and parents and the community come. And it's just a great community outreach for us.
And they actually have a room that's big enough to put your whole orchestra in?
Yes, it gets a little cozy, but they've got a huge family room, and the dining room is an L off of it. So I don't know how many people were sitting in the dining room, but they went back quite a ways this time. So there's plenty of space.
That's fantastic. And then you're doing a Christmas concert. Will you? Is that a separate program, or do you play some of the same music, or how do you manage to do two concerts in a few weeks?
This is a side-by-side with the Illinois Symphony.
Oh, I see. It does say ISO Christmas Concert,
right,
doesn't it?
Right. So on December 16th, we go and actually get to sit with professional players and enjoy the conductor. And Carolyn Dill has always been gracious, and this year Kenneth Kiesler has also invited us to come and play, I think, three pieces with them. I'm still waiting to find out what the third one is.
So you'll have something to work on then for the next couple of rehearsals.
Yes, we're playing the Farandole, which we're doing on this concert.
That's of Georges Bizet.
Pardon?
Georges Bizet from L'Arlésienne.
Georges Bizet, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we'll play Sleigh Ride, which is a traditional one we've done every year. And then Kenneth said that we would add a piece, but it would be a slow something that would not be difficult. But I'm getting a little anxious.
Well, just call him up there at the University of Michigan and say, hey, Ken,
yep.
I need that music.
I emailed him right before I called you, right before you called me.
So. Okay. Well, and that's sort of a homecoming for him, because I know this year they have all of the music director candidates to replace Karen Lynn Deal, and he was, of course, the longtime music director before her.
Right.
So coming back for these holiday concerts. What do you hear from the kids what they feel that they get out of the side-by-side with the Illinois Symphony?
They absolutely love it. It's just the greatest fun. I mean, they just sitting on the stage and hearing the sound of the symphony around you, even if you didn't play a note, is amazing. And to be able to play with them, you know, the first year a student does it, they're usually scared to death because they're thinking, how can I walk out there and do this? And after they've done it once, then they really are anxious to go back and do it again. They really don't want to miss that.
And they find that the professionals, many of whom are also students, I realize, college students, some of the ones in the orchestra,
some of them
are professional. They get a lot of support from those other folks?
Very good, yes. Very good camaraderie amongst them. And they welcome the kids, and It's good. It's not a real long, drawn-out thing. We do not have a rehearsal with the orchestra except right before we play on the stage right there. So there's not an extra time commitment, which helps everybody, I think, at that time of year.
That was the Farandole from a suite from the L'Arlésienne. It was music by Georges Bizet, written for a play of that name and performed here by the Montreal Symphony, led by Charles Dutoit. That's one of the pieces that the Bloomington Normal Youth Symphony will do in a side-by-side concert with the Illinois Symphony next month. But they're giving their own fall concert tomorrow night at Illinois Wesleyan University's Presser Hall. And I've been talking with Deanne Bryant, who is the conductor of the Bloomington Normal Youth Symphony. How did you pick this particular program for your concert tomorrow night?
Well, I'm sure you go through the same process. You look at the students that you have. I try to pick out music that I feel I've got the leadership to do and that will be fun for the students and a large variety in this program. In my mind, has a huge variety. The Capriccio Espanol is absolutely stretching. The requirement of the soloists in that are amazing, and these young musicians are absolutely on it, totally on it. We have a gal that plays oboe and English horn, and the English horn is just gorgeous, not only that, but in the steppe of Central Asia. So picking the music knowing your membership and then pushing their nickel but not losing the young ones. That's the challenge.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And you have a guest cellist on this concert.
Yes, we do. Jonathan Daly, amazing young man. He's a graduate of NCHS and just in the spring graduated from Wesleyan as a cello music education major. And Jonathan is one of those people that just pushes himself into everything that he feels is important. In the high school, if he had even a minute, he would spend it on the cello and just studying and pushing himself. And the result is an absolutely amazing musician. He'll be playing the Kabalevsky first movement of the Concerto No. 1. And it's a very fun piece. And Jonathan likes to show the energy and enjoyment of what he's doing. So I know it will be an extremely great experience for the audience as well as for the kids.
And you have a concerto competition, so I assume in your spring concert you have whoever wins that play with you.
Right.
And that's just from within the orchestra, or are there kids invited to participate on that
competition?
That's
just from within the orchestra. It's open to juniors and seniors, and the other requirement is you must have been a member of the Youth Symphony for at least 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And gives the students a chance to stretch themselves. Usually we have 6, 7, 8 competitors. Last year's competition was, I'm in the hallway pacing while they're playing for the judges.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I didn't have to decide.
So you don't go out and listen to them?
No, we make it a closed audition in this situation. It seems to work well and keeps the nerves a little bit at bay for the kids, I think. I know that other places they open it to an audience, and we may do that at some point, but right now we're not.
Yeah, I know. We like to, we try to get an audience. Usually it's just, some supporters of whoever happens to be playing at the moment. I always listen, although I'm not a judge.
Right.
And I really enjoy that. It's just so much fun to listen to all these kids putting their all into these solos, and
right.
I don't remember that I've ever heard of what I would call a bad performance. It's always exhilarating to listen to.
No, I haven't either. The only reason I stay out, really, is so that there's no feeling that I'm putting input into the decision.
Right.
Let the judges do the job.
That's probably a good way to go. Well, we'll be talking to you before that particular concert, and I'll be anxious to hear who ends up winning your concerto competition.
I will, too. may have 2 or 3. You never know.
Yeah, and it's hard to predict who's going to do what, right?
Yes, it is.
The concert is tomorrow night by the Bloomington Normal Youth Symphony, 7:30 at Illinois Wesleyan University's Westbrook Auditorium, which is located in Presser Hall on their campus in Bloomington, 7:30 start time, with music by Franz Fonsupe, wrote Light Cavalry, right?
Yes.
And then Rimsky-Korsakov's Capriccio Espagnol, Borodin in the Steppes of Central Asia, Georges Bizet, The Farandole from L'Arlésienne, and selections from The Wizard of Oz, plus guest cellist Jonathan Daly in the first movement of the Cello Concerto No. 1 by Dmitri Kabalevsky. And the conductor of the Bloomington Normal Youth Symphony is Deanne Bryant, who's been my guest on this portion of Live and Local. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck on the concert.
Thank you.
As a WILL listener, you have the power to make a positive and lasting investment in this vital and respected resource. Consider including Illinois Public Media in your estate plans. Help ensure this station's future for generations. For information about the Legacy Circle, call Don DeBeard at 217-333-7300 or go to WILL.illinois.edu/support.
And we have support for our program today. From the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled A Century of Stories and Sounds from the Stage, Music, Dance, and Theater in America. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And next up on our show, I'll be talking with George Toludo, who is music director of the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. They're giving a concert of Thanksgiving at the Peoria Civic Center Theater tonight at 7 o'clock, which involves a number of other area performers that we'll be hearing about just in a few minutes. But first, I wanted to preview with one of the pieces that will be on that program. It's The Skater's Waltz by Emil Waldteufel. Here is a performance by the Vienna Volksoper Orchestra led by Franz Bauer-Teussel. It's a bit of The Skater's Waltz, a famous piece by Emil Waldteufel, a performance by the Vienna Volksoper Orchestra, led by Franz Bauer-Teussel. And that's a piece I remember playing when I was a young piano student back in grade school, obviously an arrangement. And that's going to be one of the pieces on a concert by the Peoria Symphony Orchestra tonight at 7 o'clock at the Peoria Civic Center Theater. And my guest on this portion of Live and Local is George Stelluto, who is the music director of the Peoria Symphony and will be conducting on that concert, which involves quite a number of other performers besides the symphony. So this is the PSO presents a Pops Family Community Series. How does that differ from your classic series?
It's an opportunity for us to look at different types of music that we normally wouldn't do on our classical series. So we can do anything from a concert like we have coming up tonight to an all-Broadway concert to even presenting a concert of Renaissance polyphony that we're doing in April.
So now that's a presentation as opposed to a performance by the symphony.
Yes, but all part of our series.
Yeah. This one tonight, though, involves the symphony.
Yes.
And it looks like a bunch of other people. Want to talk about some of the other folks involved in the program?
Yeah, it's a fun concert because the symphony does not do a December program this year. And we thought, well, let's do something to kick off the holidays for everybody and kind of in the with the theme of Miracle on 34th Street in mind, why not include some of our brother and sister arts organizations and make it a concert that not only celebrates what we have in Peoria and what we have to be thankful for, but gives everybody a kind of overview of all the fun and exciting cultural things they can do in Peoria over the holidays.
So you have the Peoria Area Civic Chorale.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a large community chorus?
Yes, it's about 80 to 90 singers. Plus their youth chorus is also joining us. And Suzette Boulay from Arts Partners will be there to help discuss what's going on in the community. We'll have all kinds of discussions as well as all kinds of music to related to the season.
Mm-hmm. And you've got some soloists involved in at least two of the pieces, looks like. Some
mm-hmm.
Mozart and what else?
And there's a couple. These are all soloists from the Civic Chorale and the Youth Chorus. They're bringing them, and they'll be singing some of the solo parts in the choral numbers that they're providing tonight.
So though it's called a Concert of Thanksgiving, looks like it's heavy on the Christmas music.
Yeah, I just love that stuff. And I have to say it. I was just over in Germany guest conducting, and I was walking through the square of one of the towns that we were performing in, and they were erecting a huge tree that they put up every year for Advent. It's an Advent tree, and it's underneath it has a big area where they serve beer from under the tree. So I thought, well, we're not quite there yet, but it did get me in the spirit of things, and I just love the Christmas season.
Is that something you're going to advocate at a future Pops concert? Christmas
Yeah, we
Pops?
May have to try that.
And, beer under the tree?
Yeah. And the whole concert's just meant to be fun and enjoyable and have people, start off the season in a way that's both celebratory and reflective on how thankful we have to be and community-oriented and that we all should be coming together and realizing how thankful we should be for the blessings we have, even in times when times are hard.
George, I noticed this year, and maybe it's been going on for a while, and I just haven't been, Peoria Symphony, not so much on my radar, being an Urbana resident, but I noticed that you've got a number of series, including some of your chamber players doing a program, and then also these Bankers Hours concerts. You want to talk about those a little bit?
Sure. Our kind of underlying theme or our mantra this year is that our community is our concert hall, and we decided that we want to get out from just doing concerts in big halls to going out throughout the region and doing concerts in all kinds of venues. So the PSO chamber players have been in at Eureka College. We're doing 5 performances there this season. We played in Morton on their series. We'll be playing on the Trinity Lutheran series in April. Those are wonderful chamber music concerts and also concerts that are culturally related to our big concerts. For instance, in March, we have a big international concert that's coming up, so we'll be doing some chamber concerts that feature music of the international communities that are represented in Peoria. And then the Bankers Hours is a once-a-month free noontime concert that we do at the Grand Army of the Republic Hall in downtown Peoria. And it's just an opportunity for people to come and bring your lunch and enjoy some nice music and maybe a cultural presentation for about 50 minutes and remove yourself from the normal stream of things and kind of lose yourself in some music for an hour.
And, of course, the Bankers concerts are not the full symphony, but are programs that you are presenting from other community organizations.
Right.
Or soloists.
Yeah, we're trying to partner up and collaborate with as many organizations as possible just to show people what we have here and to celebrate that. In addition to that, we're doing an enormous amount of outreach and educational concerts. Our guest artists are playing in hospitals and in schools. Our musicians are visiting regularly to places like the Quest Academy and Quest Charter Academy and other schools in the area and the public schools. And our guest artists are also doing master classes with high school students and college students all around the region.
That's fantastic. The other conversation I'm having on today's show is with the Bloomington Normal Youth Symphony, and they do a side-by-side with the Illinois Symphony in Bloomington.
Yes.
And Springfield. Do you guys do a side-by-side with the Central Illinois Youth Orchestra?
We sure do. In fact, we're doing one in February. We're starting with the Brahms Academic Festival Overture, and we're ending with Mahler Symphony No. 1. And the fun thing about that concert is not only is it a side-by-side with the Central Illinois Youth Symphony, but it's also has a featured artist who was an alum of the Central Illinois Youth Symphony. He grew up in this area. His name is Jeff Holbrook, and he finished his studies here, graduated from high school, went to Juilliard to study trumpet, and he is now the principal trumpet of the Seoul Philharmonic in Korea, and we're bringing him back for a homecoming. And I think that's a wonderful project because it's different generations of musicians working together in this side-by-side situation.
Is the Youth Symphony joining you for the Brahms and the Mahler or just the Brahms?
We're doing it's a special collaboration. They're joining us for the Brahms, and then we're auditioning students to participate in the Mahler if they have the interest. So they'll get a lot out of it. It won't just be a side-by-side, but they'll learn about auditioning. We have members of the Chicago Symphony coming in January to work with them on Brahms, playing the Brahms Academic Festival Overture, as well as kind of coaching them on how to audition and talk about career choices in music.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many of these programs, what I would call auxiliary programs, I guess, community programs, were going on before you got there? Or have some of them happened since you got there?
Well, this is something that has really started since I arrived, but it's been something that I think that the symphony has been wanting to do for a long time. And in fact, when I was here for my audition and my interview 3 years ago, these were the kind of discussions that were coming up. How can we get out into the community? How can we have more presence in the everyday lives of of our citizens, and how can we reach our young people more? And I think what you're seeing is not only the fruit of my efforts and some ideas that I've had, but just the results of a general desire that's been with the Peoria Symphony for a long time, and is now all worked into what we call our strategic plan, which is to become more a part of the community and a more part of the fabric of the community, not just a presenter of concerts.
Well, I think it's a fantastic effort, and it also not incidentally, I'm sure, just gets the symphony name out there a lot more.
Yeah, and it makes people realize that, hey, we have a symphony here, the Peoria Symphony. It's 114 years old. Maybe I should get to know it a little better, and wow, it seems a lot more accessible than maybe I thought a symphony was, just by having both casual concerts, some lighter, different types of concerts on PSO Presents that maybe you want to bring your family to, and as well as the serious artistic endeavors that we're well known for.
George Saluto is music director of the Peoria Symphony Orchestra, giving that concert of Thanksgiving tonight at 7 o'clock at the Peoria Civic Center Theater. And I'll continue my conversation with him in just a few minutes. Among the pieces that are on their concert tonight are selections from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Ballet, including some of the very famous dances from the Nutcracker, known as that usually show up in what's called the Nutcracker Suite. I thought I'd play one of the pieces that is not so often played. Well, it's fairly often played, but it's not quite as often, perhaps, as some of those other ones from the Nutcracker. This is a recording by the Leningrad, now known as the St. Petersburg Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Yevgeny Mravinsky, of the famous pas de deux between the Sugar Plum Fairy and Prince Charming here on Live and Local. The St. Petersburg Philharmonic Orchestra, led by Yevgeny Mravinsky, from the Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky, the pas de deux between the Sugar Plum Fairy and the Prince, heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And you can hear other familiar excerpts from the Nutcracker on tonight's concert by the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. It's called A Concert of Thanksgiving, involving the Peoria Area Civic Chorale and the Chorale's Youth Chorus and some soloists as well. And I've been talking with conductor George Stiluto of the Peoria Symphony. Looking over your website, George, among the other interesting things on here, besides all the programs you can see, I see there is a category for symphony etiquette. I haven't actually gone on there. I just noticed it now. What's on there, and was that your idea as well?
That's been on there for quite some time. There's symphony etiquette, and there's traditions in the symphony, and, you know, it's certainly... I guess the desire is that people should be attentive while the orchestra is playing, and everybody knows the quintessential person with a candy wrapper that everybody in the hall can hear, or the person whose cell phone goes off. So there's some aspect of etiquette that I think is important, and the reason for those things is that, you know, the concert hall is basically like a musical instrument. Its purpose is to amplify sound if its acoustics are good. So that's why a candy wrapper or a cell phone or somebody who's whispering can be such a distraction during a concert. But, you know, the other thing is there are traditions where you should not applaud in the symphony until the final movement is finished, or you shouldn't applaud a soloist until their concerto is finished and they've completed all the movements. You know, quite frankly, if everybody wanted to stand up and cheer at the end of every movement, I'd be completely happy with that.
Well, that's one of the things that gets to be controversial anymore, because the old guard, so to speak, he really wants things to be quiet, and then you hear the person shushing somebody who's not. But then what happens to the spontaneous response, which used to be part of the tradition, you know, say in Mozart's day, where people would applaud constantly, including during a movement.
Right. Right.
Which I'm sure would be really disconcerting to all of us performers these days.
Oh, no. It would be, you know, it would be fun if we could get back to that. We did a children's concert last year, and I was speaking with the kids. We had about 3,500 kids on one day, and they were really enthusiastic, and we talked about listening, and we talked about when to cheer and when to applaud, and I talked to them about different things. And it's funny because I got a letter from somebody that I think might have been a, let's just call them a traditionalist, and said, do you really want people doing the wave during your concert? And I said, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So if they felt enthusiastic enough,
right,
that would
they
be
were
fantastic.
That taken by it, fantastic. Let them do it.
Of course, the other thing now, if you really want to admit the old traditions, you'd also expect to have people booing and hissing in the middle of things they may not like.
Well, we've talked about that, too, at concerts where we're doing some new music and, you know, what happened at the premiere of The Rite of Spring and some other concerts. And I've actually read quotes from old reviews of the premieres of what we would consider the wonderful masterpieces now, and it usually gets a pretty good chuckle out of the audience. So if I'm doing a particularly controversial work, I usually bring up the Rite of Spring story, but let them know that we don't have police waiting in the in the lobby in case there's a riot.
I was reading a biography of Respighi recently by his widow, and she mentioned quite often in talking about and giving reports of concerts that, for example, you know, people hissed as usual in the first part, and then they started to applaud more as the concert went along. And I thought that was a bit of a revelation, hissed as usual.
Yeah. Well, there's a funny account of Leopold Auer, who was Jascha Heifetz's teacher, doing a recital in London, I believe, and he had all of these, you know, sonatas and formal pieces on the program, and the story goes that he would start each movement and the audience would start clapping and he would stop and he'd move on to the next movement. What they were doing is they wanted him to get through all that stuff so they could hear all the encores.
Well, I guess that's another way to do it, isn't
it?
So do you have a bunch of encores prepared tonight?
Oh, I'm not saying. We may have some cameo appearances by some Christmas figures, and
you may
yes, I think they're out there, but it's going to be a fun concert for families, children. We will have food banks on hand for donations for food for the holidays for the less fortunate, and there'll be some. I think the Kringle family is showing up for the kids, and so it should be a lot of fun. It's just meant to be fun. And just let everybody kind of let their hair down, and there's even a sing-along at the end.
The Peoria Symphony Orchestra presents a concert of Thanksgiving tonight at 7 o'clock at the Peoria Civic Center Theater with the Peoria Area Civic Chorale and the Chorale's Youth Chorus and other soloists as well. And conductor George Stelluto, thanks very much for joining us, and have a great concert.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and here are some of the other events you can go out and see and hear live in our listening area the next few days. Mannheim Steamroller is at the Assembly Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Champaign tonight at 7:30. The Hot Iron String Band has its weekly gig at the Clark Bar in Champaign. That's tomorrow night at 6:30. There's a number of things going on Wednesday, including the Shanties playing Irish music at Luca Grill in Bloomington. I'm sorry, I don't have a time on that one. Dan Hubbard is playing at the Knights of Columbus in Bloomington tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's the Southside Cindy and the Sliptones. at the Contemporary Arts Center in Peoria Wednesday night at 5:30. The Diva and the Dude are at Clark Bar in Champaign Wednesday night at 6:30. It's King's Highway playing the blues at the Pink House in Ogden Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. The Sugar Prophets also play the blues at Uncle Buck's in Mahomet. That's Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. And it's Midwest Dueling Pianos at the Knights of Columbus in Decatur Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And then things on the weekend, of course, which we'll talk about on another program. On tomorrow's show, we're going to be having, actually trying to remember who we're going to be having. A Resonation Station is the name of a kind of an eclectic band that plays music from all over, specializing a bit at the earlier part of the 20th century, but also some newer music as well. They'll be playing for us live on the show in our studio tomorrow, so that should be a lot of fun. You're listening to 90.9 WYLFM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and Classical Music for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We also have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com.